So here, maybe the last talk in this five-part series on the Dharma life, though perhaps all talks are about the Dharma life. I like the idea that a spiritual life is also a life. A spiritual life is a lived life, but a lived life that's infused with, in Buddha and Dharma terms, infused with mindfulness, awareness, intentionality, a certain kind of sense of purpose, an orientation towards in radical non-harming of oneself and others. But it's something we bring to all our life, and to have the opportunity to live a dharmic life, a contemplative life, where we infuse our life with our spiritual life or our spiritual practice. It's such a wonderful privilege, it's a wonderful honor to be able to do this in this human life that we have. And it's easy to want, maybe to want to do this, but that it's remembering to do it, which is hard. And rather than having some high standard, like now you're supposed to be mindful, aware throughout the whole day nonstop, I think for most of us, if we just increase the percentage of our presence, our attention to life, we'll get a tremendous amount of benefit. I suspect that if 10% of the day you were really mindful of what you're doing, that day would transform your life in big ways. And so, so I want to offer another practice today that you could do, or another approach you can do to infuse your life, your daily life, with a sense of practice, living a dharmic life. And that is, when you do something, just do that one thing. To practice doing one thing at a time. And in a world where now a common expression is multitasking, single tasking is not maybe even respected as much. But to really be present for one thing, when you're doing something, really be there for it. And why is this useful? This is what we're trying to do when we meditate. We're trying to really be present for what's happening in the moment. And just one thing at a time, just really there for it. It might switch and be aware of something else a moment later, but whatever is happening, the idea is to be there for it. In the process of doing that, we learn how easily we're distracted. We learn how easily we're bored or caught in desires or caught in aversions to what's happening and caught in preferences and fantasies. And we have to learn to work with this mind that gets all entangled in these things and begin to learn to shed them, not to have them get in the way. And to somehow, in meditation, to learn to be simpler. And in that simplicity, to relax deeply and get in touch with ourselves in a much deeper way than we can when we're spinning around in preferences, desires, aversions, distractions. And so this remembering is to come home to ourselves, to really be here in a deep, intimate, connected way that comes from having a somewhat simple mind, not a simplistic mind, but a mind that is not caught up in many, many things. And so to the benefits of in meditation, of feeling that simplicity of mind and non-distractibility of the mind, just being here for this moment, we learn so much about ourselves in that process. We learn what makes us tick. We learn how to let go of. We learn what it's like to connect to ourselves in a peaceful way, in a wonderful way. So we can do the same thing in daily life, no matter in most things that are simple enough that allows us to do that one thing and have it be the same way as with meditation. If you're washing the dishes, just wash the dishes. Don't have the news on at the same time because, you know, you want to be efficient and do more than one thing at the same time and hear the news. Might as well hear them while you're washing dishes. Dishes are kind of mindless and have no important great value. So might as well listen to the news or the soap opera or whatever. But if you infuse washing dishes with the same kind of attention and purpose and practice as you do in meditation, just do the dishes. And you get bored, learn to content, work with that and let go of it. Or sometimes boredom just means that you're holding yourself apart from the experience. And so can you give yourself more to the experience, just the washing the dishes, just you and the dishes, and wash with both hands, wash their whole body present there. And then that kind of focus and attention will certainly reveal all the ways in the mind wants to escape and do something else. But in the process, you also learn how to quiet the mind or let go of these preoccupations. And you learn how to simplify the mind and to experience the benefits and the intimacy and the coming at homeness with ourselves of just being there for that one thing. And that can be for all kinds of things we do. It can be cooking, cleaning, driving. Just drive, even though driving maybe involves many different senses and many different considerations. You know, the mind's moving around, rear view mirror, side view mirror, front, looking. Just do what driving requires of you. Don't have the radio on. Don't be talking on the phone. Just do this. If you want to get the benefits of this really being, having the practice grow in your daily life. And some people will say, complain and say, well, I have a lot to do and I need to multitask. Maybe that's so. So maybe please do it if that's necessary. But sometimes things are done more efficiently if you just do one thing at a time. You do it properly the first time, it doesn't have to be done again. You do it fully, and so you don't have to come back to it later. And you understand it fully. Just this. And what's one of the advantages of monastic life, the monastic life that I lived, is that you're given different tasks through the day, where really what's called on is just do one thing at a time. Raking the temple grounds, just rake. Washing dishes. I was a dishwasher in the monastery my first summer there. So I spent this, it was just me and the dishwashing machine. And so rather than washing at the sink, I had this wonderful dance of completely being in the dishwashing shack. It was vigorous and active work. It wasn't like calm and relaxed, but it was this beautiful, for me it was, kind of this dance of putting dishes in and away and washing and just gave myself over to what was needed then. Doing one thing at a time does not mean that we do everything slowly, though sometimes it's delicious to do it that and very helpful. We do it at a pace that's useful. Sometimes doing one thing fully means we give ourselves over fully in a very full and active way. I worked after I was in the monastery, I worked at a restaurant, kind of as a little bit of a fast, as a line cook in a restaurant, very busy restaurant. And I was doing a lot of different things. In a sense, I was multitasking, cooking different dishes at the same time, tracking them. But that's all I did. I was completely absorbed in this activity, in this concentration, absorption in what I was doing was, I would leave work feeling more relaxed than when I came in because of giving myself over to really do this one activity. And then, so if you're protesting a little bit that you can't do one thing at a time, you might experiment with it and find out if it doesn't actually give you more ease in your life, give you more relaxation. Maybe you don't have to spend time afterwards relaxing as much. Relaxing is a wonderful thing, but if you don't need to relax, then you can continue living your life in a nice, nice way. And there's a doing one thing at a time. And then sustaining it and really following through on it to the end. Many years ago, I discovered that when I left the monastery, I was living in a in a house, that how easy it was to go from one end of the house to the other to get the laundry out of the washing machine into the dryer and get distracted by things, little tasks that had to be done here and there and stop, and it took a while to get to the laundry area. And so sometimes I found it just nice to, the purpose is to go to the laundry area, just go there. So you get the body and the mind gets the sense of what it's like to kind of just do one thing and not bounce around and not be busy or grabbing at everything that comes up. So sustain, follow through. If you really set yourself to do something, with that, you know, unless something important comes up, of course, follow through as long as it's kind of, so you can just give yourself the pleasure, the joy, just doing one thing. And for practitioners, it's more than the pleasure and the joy. It's so that we're doing the same exploration of our inner life as we do in meditation. We're learning to let go of what doesn't serve us, what's unhealthy. We're learning to wake up to what's the present moment. And we're learning to have some continuity with doing that. And that continuity is so beneficial. Continuity is what allows something to, Dharma life to unfold and deepen. So I end this five-part series with something which I think is quite simple in principle. Yesterday was more complicated with the idea of intention and commitment and sense of purpose, why we do things. And now today I'm bringing it back to the value of just something that's ordinary, simple. I hope almost anyone can do. It doesn't take a lot of intelligence. It doesn't take a lot of sophistication. And that is, when you're doing something, just do it. Do it fully. So I'll end a story with a story of two Zen students. That's how the story was told to me. Two Zen students were praising their own teachers. And one of them says, "Oh, my teacher is so wonderful. He has all these psychic powers, can fly through the air and walk on water and such so forth." And the other student said, "Oh, my teacher is really great too, because my teacher, when she walks, she just walks. When she sits, she just sits. When she works, she just works." And the first student said, "Oh, your teacher is really great. Now that is wonderful. So walk when you walk, sit when you sit, clean when you clean, talk with friends as you and when you talk. This is a great power, and it's a gift to the world that we give ourselves to each thing that we do carefully. So thank you."